WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Merry Christmas. Hope everyone's having a wonderful, wonderful holiday. My holiday got off to a weird start. Got an email earlier this week from the crew with Gary Vaynerchuk. If you're familiar with Gary V, you follow him on Twitter, read his books, see his work. I am an admirer and a fan and a little bit of a contact. I've had Gary on my show a couple times over the years and seen him speak in various cases and also bought his book, Crush It. But I got invited on to his Die Hard fantasy show this week with DraftKings and was delighted to come on with Lindsey Patterson as well as with Jesse Colefield. So Lindsey's from Cincinnati. Jesse Colefield, you probably know from all the TV commercials, and of course Gary Vaynerchuk. So great conversation here about Cincinnati and the Ravens and Lamar and John Harbaugh's coaching ability with the great, great Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary V. Hope I get some free wine out of this.
Gary, let's do it. Let's move on to our next game. Welcome in our Ravens and Bengals guests. So for the Ravens, we have Nestor Aparicio. He's a radio host on WNST Baltimore Positive. And for the Bengals, we have Lindsey Patterson, Bengals reporter for SI Now and WKRQ Sports reporter. Guys, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Damn it. When you were saying where Lindsey was from, and I heard WK, I was like, keep going. RP, RP, RP. It's great to see both of you. This is going to be a good one. The juices are high, I think, on both camps.
No less Nesman jokes here, please.
You got it.
I've heard those before.
Well, none will be delivered. Let's start with you. Like, how are we feeling after last week?
With me? Well,
yeah.
We haven't won in a month.
I'm aware.
It's been a long time since we've had a quarterback controversy in Baltimore, you know, because we've had a quarterback. It was Flacco and then Lamar. Before that, all we had, and I know in New York you've had a few of those, Gary, but I can't imagine. I don't take phone calls anymore. I took phone calls on the radio the first 22 years of my career. The last 7 or 8 years, I do more of a podcast format now where I call guests and talk to them, hopefully intelligently, but I can't imagine taking phone calls this week. Like, I just... You know, and in the Baltimore accent, right? You know, oh, that Lamar, he ain't no good. Bench him. We want to see Snoop. Let's see Snoop play. And it's great that he's run around for a couple weeks. But if you think he's capable of being 14-2, like Lamar was 2 years ago when he had more of an offensive line.
Fans are impossible.
Well, they want to fire Harbaugh, too. That was sort of trending Sunday
please,
night in Baltimore.
Yeah, please fire him. I would hire him to run my companies. That's how capable he is.
Well, the two-point thing has created... I mean, you want good phone calls on that. You can have 100 opinions on one decision, right?
Go for two, go for one.
You got the best kicker on earth.
It's called winner's DNA. Like, everybody cries when coaches play scared. And then when they don't play scared... and it doesn't work out. I mean, it's the same old thing. It's Monday morning quarterback.
He's done it at every turn, though. He turns to analytics. And look, when they were on the 31-yard line, I tweeted, go look it up with 3 minutes left to go. If they score, he's going to go for two. Because to your point, he's a hardball. It's what mm-hmm. he does. He really doesn't know any other way, even with the kicker. If the odds told him the other way, he'd go the other way. And, you know, look, football for 100 years was played that way, or at least for 30 years was played that way. The Ravens have changed all the rules with the way they play offense, with the way they play fourth and anything from anywhere, and they go for it. And when you don't make it, as Belichick found out kind of early on playing that, you become the village idiot.
Right? I can't deal with a single Baltimore fan that is upset about anything.
Good, because you don't have one.
Right? I hear you. You've won two Super Bowls that I could think of in the last 5 minutes by Jets fan standards. You took a quarterback who's going to end up, in my opinion, and I know people love Josh Allen, but I'm going to say it again. You took a quarterback, the fourth quarterback in the fifth quarterback in that first round, and probably going to end up with the best one. I really believe that.
And you jettisoned the Super Bowl winning quarterback who got you to the playoffs 5 years in a row, who's making a lot of money, and you made a decision on national television to take the last pick in the first round to get the extra year, right?
Did you guys move up for that pick?
Did move up, yeah. A lot of Ravens fans went to bed because they had drafted the tight end.
Yep. I mean, I don't want to hear a fucking thing from anybody in Baltimore. Period. I know that things aren't working out as well right now, Is there anybody that even has a half a football brain that doesn't see the pieces are there and next year can be remarkable? Like, does anybody not understand that next year can be 12 and 5 in a heartbeat? Like, I don't yes, things happen. People get hurt. Things don't bounce the exact way you want them to every time. But, like, that's just a good franchise with all three pieces in place at GM, head coach, and quarterback. And, like, I don't know. I mean, Jesus, get off your entitlement, Baltimore.
When we spent the whole offseason talking about being a Super Bowl winner, like having all of these players, I'll start talking about Dobbins, I'll talk about Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters and all of these guys that have gone away. Meanwhile, Lindsay's in Cincinnati and the Ravens are coming in and they're eating leftovers and they're going to have chili there and like all that. And they're fully healthy other than Mixon. And we don't know who our quarterback is, and the COVID situation's blown everything up. So Cincinnati's had everything go sort of according to plan a year early right now.
I agree. Let's talk about
that. And Lindsay, like, can the Bengals actually win the division? Like, obviously they had high hopes at the beginning of the season, right? But, like, I can't imagine a division title was, like, in their sights.
It's wild right now because the AFC North, when you compare it to the other divisions in the NFL, how tight it is. I mean, you look at Cleveland, if they pull off the win on Monday night, they move up to first, but the L, they're sitting in fourth right now. I think for the Cincinnati Bengals, you go back to last season. They drafted Joe Burrow for a reason. This guy's going to come to town. He's going to win playoff games and they hope championships. They actually started to gel last season. I know they didn't have the wins, but prior to his injury, the offense was really clicking. Then they get his top guy from LSU, and their wide receiver group is really hard to stop right now. T. Higgins almost at 1,000 yards. Jamar Chase over 1,000. And then you got your slot receiver and Tyler Boyd. So I would say offensively they have the weapons. When it comes to winning the division, what has really surprised me with this team going into 2021 is the defense. You can look at the Broncos game. I mean, they held them to 10 points, and just the way they've really saved the offense a lot this season. So I think when all sides are clicking, because sometimes they beat themselves up. You can look at the Niners game. You can look at the Chargers game. Plenty of L's where they're just making mistakes, turning the ball over. And even Joe Burrow, you can credit him for some of those interceptions too. So I think when they're not beating themselves, yeah, this team can take the division. But man,
was last week, like, I actually, believe it or not, and I'm very high on the Bengals. Like, the Bengals are different for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the opposite of what I feel about Baltimore, because it's gone so well, is for the Bengals, they've lost their Super Bowls, right? When I think about the Carson Palmer injury, feels like that was like the first drive of that Steelers game. I don't recall, but like Linz will confirm that for me. It was very early in that playoff game.
I learned this week they haven't won a playoff game in 30 years. I wondered how long, 1991, 30 years. So think about how old you'd have to be to have ever seen them win a playoff. You have to be 40 years old to remember it.
You want a better one? The Jets went into Cincinnati and won a playoff game. Like us. So like, I know how bad they've had it. I love the town. I love Joe Burrow. We at Vayner Sports, my brother and I have a representation business. We really pegged Joe Burrow. We recruited him very heavily going into that season in the spring. And I had multiple conversations with him. I mean, I don't think we thought he could be a really good quarterback. We didn't think he was going to be the number one pick. He's a fifth round projected quarterback going into that season. I love him. I'm happy for the Bengals. That's all a setup for something that's a little bit of an off-speed pitch. I actually thought last week was concerning. Like, holding the Broncos to 10 points doesn't excite me. That was without Teddy. That's with Teddy in the whole time. You know, and the Chargers lit up the Bengals like a Christmas tree. And the Niners put up some points. I'm actually wondering, you know, like, I actually really am excited for this game, but I'm very excited for a barometer check defensively next. I think you have the Chiefs after this, if I'm right. So it's going to be fun to see the Bengals play out here a little bit. This game especially is going to be fun to watch. I actually think the Ravens have been playing well, given their circumstances, and have been coached well. I understand the two-point thing. I think this is going to be a very interesting game, really interesting.
There's a case to make that Harbaugh's done the best coaching job of his career. You can laud the Super Bowl years and the talent he had. They're still trying to pick up the pieces on the offensive line and figure out what the offense is with or without Lamar. And the fact that this kid's gone in and has held the clipboard pretty well and learned the plays, throws the ball better than people thought he was going to throw the ball, hasn't been challenged to throw the ball downfield, but coming back last couple of weeks and keeping him in games and giving him an opportunity to win, I have no complaints on the Harbaugh coaching thing. I really have no complaints even that the Ravens have had bad luck and that they're losing. I don't know that they were really built with the injuries to win the Super Bowl. So my expectations have been lower.
I think it's decisions, right? Like luck, there's decisions, there's plays. Lynn, what do you think's going to happen here this week?
It's wild because what's crazy about it all is we're in December and everyone says AFC North football weather, it's going to be 57 degrees and dry for this game. So I think really it's going to be, the ball's going to be in the air. With Joe Mixon questionable, we'll find out more this afternoon when we get the injury report. I think they're going to take him pretty light all week. I won't be surprised if he plays. They got Chris Evans at running back, Samaje Perine, but I think they're finally going to let Joe Burrow cook. And that was one of the things they really got criticized for late in the Niners game, because Joe was having himself a fourth quarter and then they went really conservative in overtime. But I think with a little bit of a depleted secondary in the Ravens, it's going to be a wide receiver game for this trio. You could look at, it's going to be Jamar Chase day. Is it going to be a T. Higgins day? I think for both offenses, it's going to be pretty high scoring.
It might be Christmas for all of them, given the cornerbacks, given that the guys that are going to be playing 80% of the snaps weren't on the team 2 weeks ago. They rolled Tony Jefferson out there. Like, had been in the league in a couple of years. We loved him here. Harbaugh loved him. DaCosta. He was just like, they had his phone number. Like, dude, we put a jersey on. I saw him running around out there, and I'm like, this is not good in this circumstance, and certainly not against Burrow. And Gary, you mentioned the schedule. I mean, the Ravens have the Rams next week, and then they have the Steelers after that. This thing really sets up that they're going to be underdogging down the line here.
They need this game badly. The Ravens,
underdogging this game. Bengals are favored by 2.5. Ravens, 2.5-point road dogs.
Well, you don't know who's going to play either. You know, and if Lamar plays, you don't know what that even looks like at this point.
So we need scores, ladies and gents.
Score predictions. Lindsay, how do we see it playing out?
Okay, the first time around, it was 41-17. That isn't going to happen again. It's not going to happen again. I think that surprised a lot of people. It's crazy to think, but the Bengals are looking for their second division sweep. They've already swept the Pittsburgh Steelers. They go into this game at home where they don't play well. They're actually a real team. They're 5-2 on the road, which is so crazy. They might be hoping for, if they get into the playoffs, an away playoff game. So I think,
Liz, correct me if I'm wrong, even the wins at home have been a little suspect. I think they won their first game of the year against the Vikings in a game that the Vikings easily could have won. And there was a couple others I remember. You're right. They're not playing well at home.
They're overtime like no other at Paul Brown Stadium. It's definitely a thriller if you're not counting the Browns first round and that Chargers game. They've been pretty close. So I think this is actually going to be a closer game. I'm going to make it a one-score game. We'll go 30-24, and I'll go Cincinnati just because of really the health-wise.
That's...
No, well, for me, I have a hard time trying to figure who's going to play this week. And then once that happens, how they play. To Lindsay's point, I was at the game 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, whatever it was. They were outclassed. And it's the one time the Ravens really looked poor, like really poor this year, was against Cincinnati. I don't expect that to happen again this week. Harbaugh will have them ready to play. And to your point, Gary, important. When things get tight around here, it's when they start to play well. This time of year, Harbaugh has a great reputation. Go back and look at December's for the last 14 years. They play well. And I don't expect them to stumble, but I expect them to fall. I got a 31-18. I think the Ravens are going to have trouble scoring points with or without Lamar.
How many coaches have the Ravens had in the last 30 years?
They've only been here 26 years, and they've had three. Ted Marchibroda, Brian Billick, who's my partner, and John Harbaugh.
It's unbelievable. I have coaches.
Well, they only have one guy made every draft pick. Ozzie made every draft pick in the history of the team until last year.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I think the Bengals are going to win 26-16. I just think that there's too much chaos in Ravens land. You're literally guessing You're always guessing, but you're guessing so much because there's legitimately 7 to 10 players that could be different players on that side of the ball. And that, you know, in some weird way, when you have that good of a coach, one could argue that makes it a hair challenging for the Bengals. But like, I don't know. I think the Bengals, you know, it would be apropos if the Bengals put the league on notice against the Ravens, which they absolutely did. We've all referenced that in this chat. That's when we all said, uh-oh. And I think this could be the real kind of flag in the ground that this was their season, and they did arrive a year early. Which, oh, by the way, since I think in periods of time, I can't think season to season like most fans can because we're just so bad. So I have to think in like 3-year chunks. I actually think arriving a year early is dangerous. You know, if you look at the history of, like, at least the 40 years I've been watching football, that year early thing, I think the Bills are going through it this year. You know, I could see the Bengals getting by and winning this title, getting knocked down the first round, and then struggling next year because they got high on their own supply because they got there a year early. So I'm excited to see it in a 2-year window. But I think the Bengals win this week.
Destroy allergens, viruses, and mold in your air with Molecule Air Purifiers.
Are there any props for us to look at, Jess, on this game?
No, too early. No props yet.
Too early. What am I gonna boost?
Well, so we do have for this game both teams to score 20 plus points. That's plus 125.
I like that. Go ahead. No, even though I won't.
We have luck. Largest lead of the game, 13.5 points. The under is plus 100. So if we think...
Oh, I think it's going to stay close. What was that one more time? I like that.
Largest lead of the game, 13.5 points. Under is plus 100.
Right. So if nobody's winning by 14 at any point, we win.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take that bet with the Ravens secondary, brother. I've seen them give up too many big plays.
You could see it could be 14-0 in a heartbeat.
I'm not against a great quarterback with great receiver. I mean, this is a bad fight for the Ravens. I mean, yeah, it's terrible time of the year. It's a bad fight for the Ravens. It really is. And Gary, by the way, you love firing Urban Meyer. Dude, you could have banked. Oh, my God.
I know. I had that so – so one of the only reason I'm not catatonic right now in Jets land is there is not a person that's walked in the NFLs in the last 40 years that I've disliked more than Mike Maccagnan when he was the GM of the Jets, who's a very nice man. So it's like hard for me to say this.
You know, he's Joe Douglas. He's family to me. So you're in good hands there.
So we're in beyond great. I mean, so I'm in a very unique spot. A lot of these football players, when they're in high school and college, now think I'm cool, so I get to know them a little bit on DM and this. I have a representation business, so we're recruiting a lot of these kids. Tears in this last draft with the Jets because of the quality of the man. Tears. And it's also panning out on the field. The Elijah Moores, the Michael Carters, the Elijah Bear Tuckers, forget about their football ability. These are good human beings, which I think is the Ozzy. Like, one of the things I admire about Baltimore so much is there would be football players that the Jets drafted that I knew were the not nice guys, not good people, flawed.
Not people you want in your building every day. I mean, look, I learned that from Marvin Lewis early on and from Brian Billick when they won championships here. Jack Del Rio was a part of that. Mike Smith, just incredible. And Joe Douglas was like the youngest. He was the Turk in the original Hard Knocks. He was the youngest scout.
It's why I have confidence. This is the best draft the Jets have had in 15 years. Already, you could say it. You could see it. They already are getting more out of these picks. This last one, so you know, I'm very hopeful for our future, and I think you see it when you get. You know, the Bengals have done it a couple times now. You know, you look at the Dalton, you know, AJ Green. You look at, you know, you go historically, LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees. You look at that kind of 1-2 punch. They just did it with Burrow and Chase in 2 years. And I think was Higgins in that same draft with Burrow?
Or is that,
yeah, I mean, that's what the Jets, like, that's, you know, Zach is off to a very peculiar start in Jets land, but there's a lot going on there. But the offensive linemen, You get Beckham back. Like, we've got the ingredients. If we, and this draft for the Jets is insane. They have four picks in the top 45. So, you know, that Jamal Adams trade and that Sam Darnold trade is really playing out. And Joe Douglas architected that. So I'm very hopeful over here, but I'm excited to see this AFC North. This one thing I've definitely learned in this season, this 17-7 thing is going to keep a lot of fan bases engaged. You know, as a Jets fan for the last 40 years, you always hoped that in December you were at least in the hunt. You know, that little thing they put on the screen, you're in the hunt. You know, we haven't been there in a long time. It's been, besides our little blip in 2015 when we were 10-6 and did not make the playoffs. You can see I have feelings. We haven't been there for 11 years. It's been a long time since those Sanchez, Rex, Ryan runs. But watching football, because I love it, and seeing teams in the hunt in December that are 4-9, like in the hunt still, you know, this AFC North saga soap opera is going to be fun to watch. And I send you both love and hope you enjoy it and a great holiday.
It's going to be heartbreaking in Cincinnati. I just know that's how it's going to end.
That's, you know, if history is on any indicator, you're absolutely right.
Lindsay, don't eat the chili at halftime. It'll give you indigestion. Don't do it.
I love the chili.
Don't do it.
That chili's great stuff.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, Gary, now we have to pick this odds boost. So
what else you got for me?
So